it's the 1st of August, and it's like new hardware season, and it's like the exciting time of the year. I love fall because it's all kinds of new stuff, and everybody tries to get their stuff out before Christmas.
It's not fall yet. Don't get ahead of yourself.
No, I'm getting slightly ahead of myself. But hey, I've got an excuse. I'm robo-tripping because of the cold.
The cold's really hanging on, isn't it?
Because I won't rest properly. It's like, you need to like sleep and do stuff, and it's like,
I don't know. We're a little concerned about Krista because no one knows her location at this point. She might have relapsed.
No. Maybe she's got like two things at once. She got what I got and got something from somewhere else.
Maybe. Well, as has become a tradition at level one, mainly because I do it on purpose, we're starting out with some Tesla news.
It's our second story from MarketWatch this week. And this story is bizarre. Like, the headline is literally, Tesla asks suppliers for refunds to help it become profitable. And you read the memo that they sent to their suppliers, and it's basically, it says, it literally seems to be saying, hey, can you give us a discount on the stuff that we already got? Because we need to be profitable. And if we're not profitable, we're not going to buy stuff from you because we're not going to be here.
Yeah. And their response, I guess, kind of plays it down a little bit, explains it a little bit. But their response was basically, we're not asking for money back. Although the memo certainly makes it sound like that. They didn't release the memo, but some guy leaked some of it. And they, you know, you've seen some lines from it. But what they're saying is, this is an ongoing relationship we have with all these places because, you know, we're going to keep making Teslas and we need to keep buying these parts from them. But they're saying it's stuff that the deal was already made. We haven't taken delivery of yet. Mm. And that's what we're trying. But still, kind of weird.
Yeah.
That's like, all right, we made this deal. Oh, hey, we're not doing as well as we thought. We need to renegotiate. That's like, well, we already made that deal.
When I first read this, I thought at first that they might be making a mountain out of a molehill because it's a normal version of this type of a request is, hey, do you have any ideas? Like, as a company working with supply chains and vendors and stuff, it's not unusual, just as a matter of business, for your partners to ask you, hey, do you have any ideas on how we could save money on our supplies, because your vendors may know better than you do. And you may get answers back that's like, yeah, there is no reason that we need to, you know, like double plate this type of metal, or there's no reason that we need to stamp this notch out here because you don't need to do that. And we could save on the, it's like, you don't need to phone us up on a Friday and say that you need all your stuff by Monday morning, because then everybody's going to have to work over the weekend and we're going to have to charge you time and a half for overtime. And
because you need to get 5,000 out the door by Monday.
Yeah. And so it's like, that's normal for your vendors to give you some ideas about how you can save some money in your supply chain. So that version of the memo would be totally okay. But that's not what it was.
It's also very narcissistic because all of these places, you know, they're getting supply from somewhere to make these parts. So are they supposed to then go to all of their vendors and be like, hey, Tesla's not doing so great. Can you give us some money back? And then does that go all the way down to the ore that's making the metals?
Yeah.
But Tesla really did play it down and say that it's not actually going to destroy them if they don't get these rebates. So
can't confirm crap rolls downhill.
Yeah. And I don't know if all those, like, do they need Tesla's business that much? I'm sure it's good business, and there's a lot of it, and it's heavy, so maybe they'll play ball. I don't know. Now, this story, this one kind of, this is the kind of story that can make some of those doubts a little, like, it clarifies them a little bit.
Our commenters were right, and we're willing to eat crow, is what you're saying, right?
Well, okay, so this is Electrek, right? So Electrek is a website that if Tesla goes out of business, ain't going to be getting any hits anymore. So I don't trust them to be. I've read this from other publications who were totally on this other guy's side. But they claim they did find out that this guy was a, you know, like a short seller.
He and specifically worked in the oil industry as a stock trader, negotiator, whatever.
But his boss that like made him do this is also in that business.
Because he was caught.
And they claim he's a big Tesla supporter. Anyway, this guy, he went under the pseudonym Montana Skeptic, and he posted on Seeking Alpha, which is a stock trading website. And he was big about, you know, like Tesla's bad. You should short Tesla. Don't buy Tesla. Don't believe the hype. Musk tattled on him. He called his employer and got this guy. This guy deleted his Twitter after he was found out.
Wow. I mean, that's... I would have doubled down if I was that guy. Like, if I legit believed the whole, like, you know, global warming and oil is the future and what sense does it make to be traveling around? And
well, no, he never brought up the oil thing, which maybe proves that he wasn't acting genuinely. But his whole thing was just that they're going to go bankrupt and, you know, that's bad business. They're bad at business and the cars aren't as good as they say. So...
So you're feeding that engagement machine for those pro-Musk people that are always commenting. And they're like, the oil industry is out to get Musk. It's a big conspiracy. And there's at least one data point that's, well, yeah. I mean, apparently this guy that
was heavily invested. We've got two stories here that sort of, you know.
Sort of dovetail.
But I don't think it's mutually exclusive. Tesla could be a terrible company and the oil industry could be out to get him.
Both of those things could be true.
Yeah. And we've certainly seen big oil do some nasty things in the past, like overthrow Iran.
That was a thing. I mean, we were willing to do that over fruit, let alone oil.
Pineapples are delicious, man. Well, Windows 10, bad news for Germany. Windows 10 is increasing prices.
Oh, that's a joke from the last episode where Germany's going from Linux to Windows. So, yeah, Microsoft has acknowledged price increases upcoming for Office 2019 and Windows 10 enterprise users. This makes me sad.
Yeah, this only affects the enterprise user, but basically it's kind of like that they had multiple pricing tiers and they're kind of rolling them all up into one, but it's the expensive one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, bad news if you're running enterprise Office. And I don't think it affects Office 365, but when they reached out for comment and they were like, we are not currently addressing price changes to Office 365. The answer wasn't no. The answer was,
but we're not going to deal with it.
We'll tell you about that later.
The crazy thing was that with Office 365, with software assurance, or not Office 365, with Office and software assurance, it came out to be slightly less expensive to do that than Office 365, just because the product life, like the release cycle, has become so long with the regular version of Office. So all of this is going to be gentle encouragement to just go to the subscription model because it's more profitable.
Yeah, they increase both the yearly and the monthly, but it still is a way better deal to do the yearly. So, well, as we also talked about in the last episode, it is the anniversary. Did you get him a present? It's the anniversary of the Equifax data breach.
I got myself some credit protection service. Does that count?
Most importantly, as Boing Boing points out, nothing has happened. There have been no criminal prosecutions. I think there were some slap on the wrist fines. But the world has basically forgotten, and Equifax has pretty much gotten away with it. They say they've spent $200 million to beef up security, and that should really be all that we say about the matter. It's settled as far as they're concerned.
I would love to have some of the security people that I follow on Twitter, like, send Swift on security to audit their stuff, because I'm sure that it is a raging dumpster fire it is today.
They point out that they did hire some big names, and I think they did it for that reason, to sort of make sure it's like, no, really. No, we did it. We did it. We actually fixed it.
They probably gave those guys such a narrow scope that it's like, we want to make sure that the Office copier is secure. We're not interested in anything else. Your scope is to secure the copier. And those guys were like, okay. It's like, you know, so-and-so security consultant, can you certify that we're totally secure? And it's like, well, for the scope that you gave me, yeah. We unplugged the copier, so there's no way the Chinese are going to hack your copier.
But the big story here isn't that they've, like, who cares if they've fixed anything? The punishment for that kind of failure should be your company goes out of business.
Not golden parachute?
Yeah. Well, golden parachute all you want, but the company should not exist a year later.
Too big to fail.
Absolutely. Too tied into, as we found out, they were just tied into every, like, insurance and credit reporting, and it was crazy how much depended on them. It's like, wow, how can this be? But there it is.
In other semiconductor news...
Bad news for Qualcomm. First of all, they wanted to sell themselves, to give themselves up to Broadcom. But Trump said, no, you can't do it because of China. And so they said, all right, well, all right, we'll buy NXP. And then China said no. So they can't win. They're between warring superpowers, and they just can't get ahead.
They're even trying to do this whole x86 emulation thing, but Intel's been doing some saber rattling on that. Man, Qualcomm just can't catch a break.
Yeah, and they are they're profitable still. It's not like they're, you know, not a good company. They're still making chips and selling them, and everything's fine. But they're trying to find a future-proof avenue. You know, like they're looking at the writing on the wall, and it's like, it's moving so fast. Look at Intel. Intel's got the desktop, and what's happening to the desktop? And they're not even doing that all that great anymore. So I think Qualcomm is just like, we've got to branch out, but there's all this political intrigue, and I can't do it.
How did we get to that? Like, where it's like, this is a crazy time to be alive. Like, the there's somebody has got to be working on a novel or something about this, because it's so, like, life is stranger than fiction, but it's literally people that don't understand anything about technology are using technology companies as pawns in some kind of political war. And because they understand technology so little, it is much easier to see their overall agenda. And the level of corruption that you see in these systems is shocking.
You know, I was actually, you look at all this and you're like, wow, we've never seen a world this corrupt. This is like, we're reaching new grounds. But then I was watching that Netflix documentary about Caesar and the Triumvirate. And I was like, oh, no, they were doing this, you know.
It's just easier to see now.
At the beginning of recorded history is when this started. So, you know, I guess it's not going to stop, is it? There's not going to be a breaking point. Well, in the hardware news, actually, I think this might still be business news, is Mozilla. So Chrome has rolled out this new way of handling YouTube, and it works really well in Chrome. Doesn't work quite as well in Edge and Firefox, or at all in IE11. So
it turns out the problem with JavaScript is there's no standard library. It's like, I need to do some stuff with some time zones or some dates or something. It's like, well, good luck with that. You're going to be using moment.js probably, because there's no standard library. The Material API is what Google is using to try to make the YouTube interface faster. But that API was deprecated, so it's not natively supported on browsers other than Chrome. There's a polyfill, but everything ends up running in JavaScript, so it's slower than molasses running down the side of a jar in January.
Yeah, and it does. So
except in Chrome,
IE11 can't handle that at all. So they said they've made YouTube so that it uses the old version, which is fine in IE11. And Mozilla is saying, wait a minute, why don't you just do that for us? Because we don't have your new technology either. Why are you running this new version that you know we can't handle if IE11 isn't treated like that?
Well, it runs slower in Firefox.
And obviously, you know, YouTube is one of the big normie sites. A lot of people, they're going to fire up a browser and be like, this doesn't feel good. Ooh, Chrome. Chrome is faster. Yeah. So it seems like that's on purpose.
Mozilla is probably going to bring back the Material, the Polymer API thing, maybe, possibly.
Well, there are plugins that can force it to use the old version.
There's some stuff in the W3C that makes me think that, like, there have been a lot of proposals for a JavaScript standard library, basically. I'm oversimplifying. And a lot of the stuff that I see from some of the people that are connected to Google seems like waffling. Like, they're not saying, no, we don't need that. They're just whatever direction the committee's going in, it's sort of like this analysis paralysis, like, decision-making thing where it's like, well, we need to make sure that the API is perfect because we don't want to paint ourselves into a corner. And it's like, is it disingenuous or is it just that we haven't figured it out yet?
I think it's maybe a little of both, but probably like 80-20.
Yeah.
I think Google knows what's happening and they like it.
Yeah. So they like being in charge.
Well, are you planning a trip to Taiwan? And I guess you'd have to fly there. There's no other way to get there. But how are you going to go on? You're going to book your flight. You might notice something a little weird when you hit that country drop down.
Yeah, American Delta and United have changed how they refer to the self-ruled Taiwan on websites to avoid Chinese penalties because they also operate in China.
Yeah, this is the one China policy. China says Taiwan belongs to us, and anybody that says otherwise is our enemy. So these airlines, because they operate in China, what choice do they have?
I like how the other bullet point there, which is earlier this year, China demanded that foreign firms and airlines in particular refer to Taiwan as blah, 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 China, but the White House referred to it as Orwellian nonsense.
Yeah, but the airline companies are playing ball. So if you're going to fly, if, for example, you're going to fly to Taipei, you're going to book that flight as Taipei, Taipei. There is no country. So really, it's just confusing people that are trying to fly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who they're not going to understand that, because it doesn't say Taipei, China. It's a weird thing. But they've all given in. No airline stood up for poor little Taiwan. So we'll see what happens.
That is a little disconcerting. I hope that Taiwan is a very delicate situation that I hope is not messed with, because there's a lot of really amazing, like, it is, Taiwan honestly is probably the new Silicon Valley. Like, all the magic that was happening in Silicon Valley in the 80s is right now happening in Taiwan, like as if it was the start of the 80s. Like, things didn't really get interesting until the late 80s. Where we are in Taiwan right now is the early 80s.
But think about how juicy that makes it in the eyes of,
yeah,
China's just going to gobble that up.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're at the head of everything.
Yeah. It's not good.
And if you're the U.S., do you let that happen?
I'm really excited to see what comes out of Taiwan in the next 5 or 10 years, because we haven't seen anything yet.
Well, let's hope it's not a giant fireball. Google, speaking of giant fireballs, Google has stepped in to try and prevent your phone from bursting into one.
Because mining apps in the Play Store with your phone is a great way to destroy your battery.
Yeah, that's literally the excuse they gave of why they're now getting rid of all cryptocurrency mining apps from the Play Store. It could cause deformation or overheating of a battery.
I couldn't confirm it, but there was an app that was removed from the Play Store that the only purpose was to monitor your mining rigs to be sure that they were checking in with the pool or whatever at appropriate times. And supposedly that app was caught up in it as well, but I was not able to find or verify that.
Well, this site was Bleeping Computer. They claim that the policy excludes sites for managing offline mining somewhere else.
Hmm.
So as long as the phone isn't doing it, it's okay.
Supposed to be okay.
But
that's what I read, but I don't know if that's actually, like, they're just shoot first, ask questions later. I'm not sure.
Oh, Chromium.
MoviePass. Remember MoviePass? We've mocked it a few times. Turns out they're having cash flow issues. They had a major website outage because they didn't pay their hosting bill. Yeah, totally out of money because they didn't pay their bills. So they got emergency funding of $5 million.
Yeah, and I don't understand how they didn't see this coming. Wouldn't you? It's like, hey, Bob, set an email alert. If the account gets below 10 million, just have that email me. Somebody should know, right? So literally, it wasn't working because it couldn't buy your tickets. MoviePass, they don't really have an API set up with these theaters. They literally just buy your tickets remotely. And then through the app, somehow you confirm and they give them to you. But the money is given to the theaters in huge lump sums so that they have like a cache of money waiting there. And they ran out.
And the website went down.
Yeah. So they're hurting bad because it's a crazy business model.
Now let's see if we can fake news spin this into something else. So the fake news version of this is MoviePass is so popular. Why aren't you on it? Because it's so popular, it's down.
Yeah, but I don't think they want new customers right now, do they? That's costing a lot of money. I think they thought that a lot of normies would be. Remember when Olive Garden did the unlimited Olive Garden pass for $250?
Yeah.
And they were like, yeah, people will buy this and they'll forget they have it. No, only very, very seriously unsettled people bought the Olive Garden pass. And they went there every day. Every day. They didn't care. They did soup and salad and breadsticks every day. And they had to get rid of it. And that's exactly what's going to happen to MoviePass.
I mean, you know, if you're neat and you're watching level one content every day, and you could go to the movies instead, wouldn't you go to the movies? Even if it's terrible?
It's free. Why not? You know, I guess you have to leave your house, though. So, Well, switching into the hardware version of things, this is a hilarious story. One of the things I noted about this story, if we look at the website real quick, they didn't note it on motherboard. But when you start scrolling down, oh, They found them.
Apple is like, no, this belongs to us.
Yeah. So these were internal repair videos.
Yeah, it showed that it was surprisingly easy. So apparently Apple, even internally, is like, you know what? It's not really that big of a deal to repair iPhones, which is contrary to their public-facing opinion of repairing iPhones. It's like, we need to build a robot to take it apart and shred them because people can't do it. It looked pretty easy in their own videos, though.
Yeah, and Motherboard pointed out that iFixit has their own series of videos. And they're incredibly similar. Like, they all came to the same conclusions. This is the best way to do this. Even though they didn't have the Apple videos to work from.
Nice.
So it's not, you know, that certainly hurts that whole right to repair thing. When the private sector did the exact same thing that you did after looking at how you screwed up.
What was obvious.
Yeah. So that's a little bit embarrassing for Apple. That looks like they got right on top of it. But I'm sure they're still out there floating around somewhere. If you really want them. You probably find them.
We've also got a follow-up to our Apple new 6-core MacBook thermal throttling story that we reported on last week.
Yeah. They are claiming that it is totally software. You buy that?
It's software in the sense that the software should be limiting the processor speed more than it was, because a lot of wasted effort on the processor's part, generating extra heat, was switching back and forth between its very slowest speed and its very fastest speed. So what the software fix does is it makes the processor run at a slower speed sooner before it hits the thermal limits, and then it just sort of coasts as long as it can, because it's not even really necessarily processor related. Some people are saying it's like the VRM area, because the processor switching between very fast speeds and very slow speeds is harder on it than just running at a slower speed to begin with. That's somewhere in between the slowest speed and the fastest speed. So that's what they're changing.
Yeah. And this is on the back of the keyboard meltdown. And it's not a good week for Apple. And it's not getting any better, because the T2 chip, which is involved in some of the security stuff that it does, and Siri lives in the T2, which might make you feel good when it fails. That's caused them problems, and they're having to replace a lot of MacBooks.
The shocking thing about this is that when this failure occurs, you lose the information stored internally on your SSD because of the in the iMac Pro, because of the RAID key situation with the iMac Pro. Like, it's just, you got to replace your logic board. Guess what? You lose all your data too. And it's like, wow, that doesn't seem like a good design.
Yeah. And they've talked about, some people have thought they found a solution for it. And there's a lot of solutions in the forums, but none of them are 100%. And some people are now on their third MacBook.
Wow.
Because of this. And Apple is not asking questions. They're just like, here's a new one. So that shows you how serious it is. Because that's,
oops.
Yeah, that's costing them quite a bit of money. It might not be worth what they charge for it, but it still does cost them something just to. So that might, there might be a big rush on the refurb market. Might be able to get a good one once they fix it. Don't do it. Well, Intel, more interesting news. I don't know if this is bad, but it's an interesting, I guess. It's bad in that I don't think they're doing this because they want to. I think their hand is being forced.
This is a leak that shows that the leak shows that the i7 8-core chips are 8-core 8-thread, not 8-core 16-thread. But there's going to be a new i9 on the desktop platform that's 8-core 16-thread, which is odd for Intel to do that.
Ars Technica blames it on them just simply hitting the limit on what they can do with this size transistor. And we know that they can't get the next size down. That's not working for them. So I think Intel, we talked about this when Ryzen first came out, and then, you know, they refreshed it and everything. It was like, well, it just keeps getting worse. They can't get behind. They can't just not release a cycle.
Yeah.
And so what do? And it seems like this is what they're doing. Just changing numbers. It's like, just move stuff around.
I want to see when this actually is released and come, because this is just rumor. I mean, it's not, there's not anything that's like super confirmed here, but there's also a rumor that the integrated heat spreader is going to be soldered. That was a rumor for the 8086K as well, but that may have just been insider sources being mixed up about the 8086K, which is like an anniversary 5 gigahertz 6-core CPU. And just getting mixed up between that CPU and this CPU that was being worked on. I'm not real sure.
Well, how would you like to store all of iTunes on a wafer the size of a quarter.
That would be amazing.
That's what we're being promised because of storage using hydrogen atoms.
Yeah, 138 petabit per square inch.
Now, here's the drawback, and it's a pretty serious drawback. At best, it's 1 bit every 2 seconds.
Yeah, but they're working on that.
You can't stream HD video. Pro tip.
that's the write speed. The read speed, I think, is... this is actually some kind of a silicon carrier for these hydrogen atoms. And so whether or not there's a hydrogen atom can be read using standard interface circuitry. So it's really just the writing that's a problem with this so far. Because the fabrication part of it is actually possible with the existing silicon fabrication machinery.
And somehow, hydrogen atom is half a nanometer. But somehow, I guess because they're using hydrogen atoms, they're not getting any of the weird particle physics stuff going on. So it's promising. I suspect that's going to be a lot of years, though, before they actually get to anything like that. Well, robots.
time to enter the robot section.
Time for the robots. And how about lettuce collecting robots? Pretty exciting. These are the... I'm going to scroll down and look at them here.
They've got water knives.
Yeah, all that steam coming off of there, that's actually... they're using tiny jets of water to cut the lettuce at the bottom.
Neat.
And apparently that's, you know, cutting lettuce is one of the worst jobs because you got to bend over and cut and then stand up and bend over and cut. And so this is Wired. And you see this a lot coming from Wired because they do a lot of robot stories. Those are hot, I guess. And they're like, now don't worry. This is not going to take away jobs. Well, it is going to take away jobs, but that's okay because there's a shortage of workers. So it's like, So what happens is instead of bending over and cutting, you walk next to the truck and clean up the lettuce as it's cut and delivered into the thing. But how long until a robot can clean the lettuce?
It's going to be really quick, like immediate almost, I'd say.
That is the Amazon issue of they're bad at gripping things.
Yeah.
But that's when they have to grip different kinds of things.
Lettuce is pretty uniform.
It's going to be about the same. You know, you can have a tolerance level. And I don't think it would bruise it too bad if they, you know, got rough with it a little bit. So, yeah.
It's probably fine.
We're going to have totally robotic harvested lettuce soon. And
in other hardware news this week, we have separate videos on the other hardware news this week. So look for that. Sorry. Back to robots. Boston Dynamics is in the news again.
Robot dogs. Who's excited?
Not the pet kind, sort of the terrifying kind.
Well, you could have a pet.
Looks way... like, there's this episode of Black Mirror, and that looks like one of the... like, they were super lethal.
Now, you can also have his arm here. This is his arm. Look at that.
Yeah, that's not scary at all.
It looks like a snake.
It's a stabilized platform.
Look at that thing.
I need a Boston Dynamics cameraman. That's what I need.
That's incredible. So these things are going to be, you know, they're making, how many they're going to make a bunch of them, like 500,000, I think. And they're going to be...
Oh, it lets the other one in. That's nice.
Well, there's no reason to have two arms. The other one's got the payload. So if you've dreamed about a terrifying robot dog being in your life, now's the time.
Can you imagine the burglars of the future breaking into a house with those?
And that thing, I think they said it weighs... was it 155 pounds or was it 55 pounds? I don't know, but it could get you down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it could just get you around the legs and wrap you up. You know, get on your back like a monkey.
Yeah.
Probably choke you out. I would probably get one, though, for security. That would be a good...
It would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Except for that time it accidentally attacked the UPS guy.
You could, UPS guys could carry like an RFID in their pocket or something. Of course, then criminals would just steal those. So.
Yeah.
Well, do you hate call centers? You might hate them worse. I don't know.
Google is building virtual agents to handle call centers grunt work. Did you see the demo from Google I.O. where they made a hair appointment? It's like duplex. That in reverse.
Yeah, duplex is going to be part of this, but they're making it better. So the idea is when you call up Charter to complain about your ISP... you're not going to talk to a human until the AI decides what it is you need to talk about. And
so how long before Duplex is just going to be talking to itself?
Well, that's true. Yeah. Hey, Duplex. Well, they could probably do like those supersonic beeps at one another. It's like,
no,
we'll just negotiate this without without voice. I'll tell you what, it's probably some bad news for India, though.
Yeah.
Because that's probably like a huge part of their GDP is the tech support thing.
Call center.
And if a robot starts doing it, real bad for them. Now, this story is interesting. I got an interesting take on this, but what's your thoughts on?
All right. So Google self-driving cars are going to going to Walmart to pick up your groceries, basically, is what this is about. And I don't think that I like Walmart enough to really, like, I still don't, like, maybe with Kroger.
Well, they're not just picking up your groceries, but they could take you to Walmart as well.
Yeah, yeah, but you don't have to. They could just do it.
If you wanted to shop. No, but here's my thought on that. You don't like going to Walmart, as you just said, right?
Right.
And the reason, I'm going to guess, that you don't like going to Walmart is because there's a certain kind of people at Walmart.
Peopleofwalmart.com is a website, yes.
What is this thing going to smell like?
That would be really bad.
I mean, they would have to make the insides just stainless steel.
And they just hose it off after every...
Well, steam it. Just, you know, like a power washer with steam.
See, I was thinking, like, I could just order from the Walmart app, and I don't need to go. Like, the car can just bring it to me and save a trip.
That would be nice, yeah. Now, they did talk about, like, because Walmart is one of the cheaper destinations. I don't know how true that is anymore, because they were having trouble keeping that up. But you're probably not going to get the Walmart courier if you're just buying, you know, like some Hot Pockets. You're going to have to spend a certain amount. And I wonder how that's going to work.
I think as long as you spend a certain amount monthly, it probably works. Because you think about services like Blue Apron, they're profitable and people are willing to pay a premium to not have to think about putting their ingredients together or anything like that. Mm. So imagine like the Walmart, Amazon, Whole Foods version of that, where it literally just plans every meal for you and it just does it.
Or it could be like an Amazon Prime thing, annual cost. And then, you know, some people never use it and that subsidizes the people that go every day.
I would probably enjoy cooking more if I could just, like, if I had the process down, because when there's been, like, a special event or, like, I had to do something for family or whatever, and I've actually put the effort into planning something correctly, and then I can just move through the recipe really quickly, that has been much, much more satisfying than just stumbling around for an hour trying to prepare a meal.
Mm. There's definitely going to be, just like with the MoviePass people, there's going to be a kind of Walmart customer who's unemployed, has nothing to do all day, and every single day they summon the Walmart car and go to Walmart.
And just hang out.
And just, yeah.
It'll be like the bookstores. It's like Barnes & Noble found success, not by trying to be a better bookstore, but by turning it into a neighborhood hangout. Walmart's going to be the neighborhood hangout.
I can see that. That's... Especially older people. Like, they like to go and hang out. Yeah. Well, we've talked a lot about AI and medicine, and I got to say, you know, just like with the Tesla thing, a lot of people in the comments are very, very skeptical about AI and medicine, and
maybe for good reason.
Maybe they were right.
Watson has reportedly recommended cancer treatments that were unsafe and incorrect.
This is actually a quote from the article. This product is a piece of shit. Man, if I ever get cancer, that's the doctor I want. I want a straight shooting guy like that.
That makes me think that the data that they fed the system was bad, which will be a reflection of the doctors.
Well, so here's the scenario. I think it was more than once, but this was the worst one. A guy came in and he had lung cancer with severe bleeding. And so Watson was like, all right, let's get you on chemotherapy and go ahead, we're going to give you this experimental drug. But the number one side effect of the experimental drug, hemorrhaging.
Oh, yeah, that's bad when you're already bleeding.
Yeah, so would have killed the guy, most likely. And these doctors that they interviewed basically just said, you know, this brought people in because it was like a marketing gimmick, and that's pretty much why we got it, but it's useless. We hate it. So
nice.
Some work to be done at IBM.
I really want to look at those graphs though, like an AI that will produce that recommendation, the data that went into it in the first place is probably deeply disturbing.
Well, IBM's response was basically what you're saying, which is now that we have it here, we can keep improving it. So it'll get better over time. But in the meantime, like, you pulled the trigger too quick. You shouldn't have. It's like when you put a game on early access and people give it bad reviews. It's like, but it's in early access. You took money for it.
I guarantee you there's a law firm somewhere that's looking at those results. So they're thinking, we could probably use Watson to figure out which doctors to sue for malpractice.
Well, if he ever starts making real decisions, they certainly sue him.
Oh, surely with our next story, we've stumbled into the nonsense section of the week. This seems like it's a little premature for the nonsense section.
Well, you know, it's not nonsense. It kind of is, but we didn't put it there because this really is artificial intelligence, or at least that's what Microsoft is calling it.
The headline is Windows 10 will try not to reboot when you're just grabbing a cup of coffee, because whatever they did with Windows 10, and it's like, I'm going to reboot for updates, it is garbage. It is utter, like, no matter what you tell it, it just does whatever it wants.
Yeah. So,
and apparently they need AI to solve that problem. I don't think that's true. Well, I think that's not true at all.
They definitely subscribe to the idea that the user does not know. The user cannot be trusted. There's too many security risks, like, you know, the Intel ones. And we need to update whenever we feel like it, and they won't let us. So now, because of the hatred, because it updates at the worst times, they claim they're going to try to do AI that decides when is the best time to update for you.
No. No.
You don't have a choice. Just like Siri. You will love Siri. She's lovable. And you'll accept her and you will love her.
Oh, our next story is amazing.
This is the third week, I think. This is a broiling, highly contested thing that's going on in the world, and that is the Amazon facial recognition.
It's back in the news, and it must be back in the news because of good reasons, right? It's like, nope. The picture that you're looking at in the article is that the Amazon face recognition has identified a lawmaker as Warner Vogels.
No. That guy runs the company. He runs the AI. That's like the CEO. All of the lawmakers that it discovered had one thing in common. They were black. And so when it found a black lawmaker, it had like an 80% chance of saying, that's a criminal. Embarrassing a bit, huh? Now, Amazon's response to this is that they were running it in the 80% mode, and they needed to turn it up to like the 95% mode.
95% mode is still terrible.
But still, it is very embarrassing. And we've heard of stories in the past of AI is just not good with darker skin. And apparently Amazon has not done much to fix that. And when you look at, you know, Amazon is working with law enforcement. And I'm not trying to paint any correlations here. I'm just saying statistically, the people that end up on the wrong end of law enforcement in this country have darker skin a lot of the time. Whether that's racial bias or reality, whatever, that doesn't matter. What's important is these are the people that the AI is going to be looking at, and it doesn't work.
Are you saying that it's a vicious cycle?
It would be. Yeah, I think so. So they've written letters and they've demanded some answers, and I don't think Amazon is, they're being pretty tight-lipped about this. They're not talking too much about it, but that's pretty embarrassing.
Good job, Amazon.
That's bad PR.
It's terrible. That's pretty much it for this week. What do we got lined up for Friday?
Well, for Friday, we've got a bonanza of security news. Let me just warn you up front. It is a terrifying week in terms of security. So many terrible things. We've got some new Spectre, a couple of new Spectres. We've got some data leaks. We always got those. But then to taper off from that, we got a little gaming news that's lighthearted. We've got nonsense, and we've got one design story, but Chris is not here, so I don't know. I don't know anything about it.
Probably going to cut it.
We'll see you then.
See ya. Be sure to check out our hardware.